If you have your Bibles, would turn with me. I'm only going to give you two verses of Jesus' high priestly prayer. I wish we would have time to look at all of it. It's all in red. You've got a red letter edition. It's Jesus. He's praying for his disciples and ultimately for his church. And I want to read just two verses from John 17, verses 18 and 19. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And Jesus is praying not only for his disciples, but about halfway through, he changes and he says, and I pray for all of those who come to faith after them. That's you and me. That's us. He prayed for us. And there's something he wanted us to understand, and we're only going to look at a snippet of it today. You know, we have traditions in the church, don't we? If nowhere else, the church is where you find a lot of traditions. Some of them good. Some of them healthy. But I'm going to tell you, they can never take the place of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And see, that's what's happened in the church. You don't need me to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You have a mission here at this church. God has a mission for his church. Every now and again, I hear people say, well, I wish the church would, and then you fill in the blank, whatever. Folks, who's the church? You are. So if you say, I wish the church would do this, then what you're saying is, I need to be a part of doing that. But see, it's good if we can kind of pass that off. Oh, incidentally, I shared in the first service, I feel really liberated today because, see, I'm what you call a hit-and-run preacher. I'm going to hit, and I'm going to run, and if you guys have any tomatoes to throw, Kelly's here. Okay, he's the one that's going to have to deal with that. I won't be around tomorrow morning to deal with that. Jesus knew he had a mission for his disciples, ultimately for us. And so he prays this high priestly prayer to that end. And we're only going to look at one part of it. Several years ago, a well-known evangelist by the name of Ralph Kuyper was preaching at a missions conference in New Jersey. And he said very early in his ministry, he met a little 8-year-old girl by the name of Mary. And Mary came to him during a week of vacation Bible school, and she walked into his office, and she said, Mr. Kuyper, is it all right to commit suicide? Now, he knew very early in his ministry that you don't just dismiss a question before you understand the background to the question. And he looked at her, and he said, Mary, why on earth would you want to commit suicide? I mean, he was startled, to say the least. He said, well, it's because of what I learned in vacation Bible school this week. And now, that sends kind of fear through the heart of a pastor. And he said, well, what is it that you learned, and why would you ever want to commit suicide? She said, well, did I hear it right, Mr. Kuyper, that heaven's a wonderful place? A place where there's not going to be any more suffering or sorrow or tears? That it's just going to be with Jesus? I mean, won't that be great, Mr. Kuyper? Well, yes, Mary, you did hear that correctly, but I still don't understand why you would want to commit suicide. She said, well, you've been in my home. You know my mommy and my daddy. You know that they get drunk quite often. You know that they fight and they say things that make us afraid. That they don't cook us meals and we have to get ready and we're dressed in dirty clothes and then we go to school where people make fun of us. Wouldn't it be better if I could just go be with Jesus, Mr. Kuyper? Do you hear what she's saying? See, there's nothing theoretical about her theology. It's very practical. And really what she's saying is, why am I here? What is the reason that God has me here? And Mr. Kuyper looked at her and said, Mary, there's only one reason on God's earth why we're here. And that is that somehow, through our testimony, someone might come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the only reason that we're here. Now, I share that today because I happen to think that that's important to the Gaines Church. Because that's the question before us, right? Why? Why are we here? Why has God permitted the Gaines Church to sit here on the corner of 92nd and Kalamazoo? I was a part of that for 12 years. I was a part of being your pastor for 12 years. And you know, every now and again as a pastor, especially these past few months, I've had opportunity to go around and speak at a number of churches. And inevitably somebody will say, do you remember the good old days? I don't know about you, but sometimes I just want to throw up when I hear that. I really do. Because, you know, first of all, when I was there, they weren't really all that good. It's after you leave, somehow they became good. You know, when you were there, it was the good old days that was long before that. And we somehow find ourselves trapped in the past. And God wants us to live in the here and now and the present. And so the question is, why are we here? Is it just because there's been a building that sat on this corner for X amount of years and that's why we're here? Or do we have a higher calling from God that we need to find out? And I have to tell you, the answer is found right here in our text. Two verses by our Lord. He has given us a special mission. He asks us to look beyond ourselves, beyond what takes place in these walls. Incidentally, I really hope there is more to our faith than what takes place 1 hour a week. I mean, we're really paltry if all there is to our faith is what takes place between the hour of 11 and 12, or grant me a few extra minutes today, we might run over a little. I hope there's more to our faith than what takes place during these times. You know, a healthy church, a church that understands the mission that God has given us, understands that this world's in need of some help. Do you see that? Look around. The world is in need of some help. And by our very calling, we are mandated to look out into this world. And a healthy church is full of individuals who are constantly saying, I need to get out there and I need to build some relationships with people who don't know Jesus. Incidentally, you're already out there. Sometimes it bothers me in myself. I go to the bank. I'm pretty routine. I go to the same bank every week. I see the same person. Do I know them by name? Generally, they got a name tag on. And there I am, having contact. The Lord's already bringing people into my life. But you know, I'm really focused on getting my banking done when God's got a higher calling that's going on in my life. You know, Jesus was aware of this tendency, so he prays for his disciples. He knew that the human nature, being what it is, we would soon learn how to make the church all about meeting our needs. That somehow, as we gather in here, it's really all about me. And so in his high priestly prayer, Jesus outlines the elements of our God-given mission. There's only going to be two of them that I'm going to give you. But it all centers around looking out and seeing the people that are already in our lives. I'm not going to do it today, but in your own heart, you can kind of sum this up yourself. Do you know a few people that don't know Jesus? Maybe they're in your family. Maybe you live next door to them. Maybe you work by them or you go to the grocery store. But there are all kinds of people. And folks, Kelly shared just one instance of a young fellow that's hurting. But they are all around us. People that need to hear about Jesus. Look together. Element number one is the place. Our text clearly talks about the church's mission. Now, I have it on the screen for you. Notice what he says there in verse 18. As you sent me into the world, this is Jesus speaking, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. I quite often read in the Message translation, I like the Message translation of that verse. I have it on the screen. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. The Latin word for mission, It's not theological. It just means sent out. Sent out. In other words, as Jesus was sent out, he left all the privileges of glory, came into our world. Now he said, I'm going to send them out into the world. And you see how it must grieve his heart as he looks at his church and they think it's all about gathering in? I mean, here he is saying, get out from the walls and start to see. And we're content just to huddle. Kind of get in our own little circles. So the question before us is, where are we sent? You know what the good news about Jesus is? He anticipates the question before you ever ask it. And he answered it right here in these two verses. Now, I happen to think this is the reason so many churches are struggling today. We think it's about coming in. Now, I got to tell you, it's not that the evangelical church is not concerned about missions, because they are. And I know the history of this church. I know the missions involvement of this church. I know that you support a number of missionaries, not only financially, but with your prayers. In fact, I look around, Jim, see you here. You part of missions for many, many years. And this church has a rich history of missions. But here's the problem. We are content to send someone else out when we don't want to go ourselves. We're content to focus on missions in Main Street Africa, you fill in the town, but not on Main Street Caledonia. And that's not what Jesus has for his church today. That's not what he looks out, and he, you know what, we call people missionaries, but you know what, as he looks at the church, you are all missionaries. You have all been sent out to make a difference in the lives of the people who are all around you. You know, our understanding of God's call on our lives has been somewhat distorted. As one Bible professor puts it, and I quote him, "It is possible to be born in a Christian home, to grow up in a Christian family, to have all Christian friends, to go to Christian schools and colleges, to watch Christian television. We can even get Christian jobs, be taken care of by Christian doctors, and finally, one would suppose we will die and be buried by a Christian undertaker on holy ground." Unquote. And you say, well, Pastor, what's wrong with that? All I'm telling you is, as I read in his high priestly prayer, it's not what he has for his people. I mean, it's wonderful that we can come in here and we can worship, and I hope you don't forsake that. I think we need that. But folks, that's not the whole story. The whole story is he wants us to go out changed because of what we did here in worship and start to touch the lives of people all of around us. So what does it mean to be in the world? After all, that's what Jesus prays for his disciples, right? Please understand, it doesn't mean we act like the rest of the world. That's been a lot of the problem. We go out and we're not changed. We're just like them. We don't show them any higher calling. And I got to tell you, we go out because we don't abandon our culture. Our culture needs to see genuine believers who understand what it's like to have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But as members of the body of Christ, we got to show them something that is different. Maybe an illustration will help us here. It comes out of a book I have been recently reading called The Unanswered Prayers of Jesus by Mike Evans. It really is about the 17th chapter of John. The unanswered prayer is he prayed for us and we're still fulfilling it. It's not completely answered because we're in the process of fulfilling what he prayed for here. But let me quote him. "It was an extremely hot summer in Canada when I was preaching at a camp meeting. My birthday just happened to fall in the middle of it, June 30th. So I took the morning off, and a good friend of mine, Bill Fletcher, and I went fishing. We found ourselves on a boat on a lake with a guide named Harry who took us out there. And to use a biblical phrase, we fished and caught nothing." I have been there. You know, the only thing you caught is the little worm you put on the end of your line. "Bill had been asleep for almost an hour when I finally laid down praying and complaining over the time and the money wasted. To make matters worse, I had listened to Harry, who seemingly found a way every 5 minutes to curse the name of my Lord and my Savior. While I was grumbling, Jesus softly said, 'I sent you here because I'm going to catch a fish.' I then turned and I looked at Harry and I realized who Jesus was talking about. I asked the Lord to forgive me for my whining. I sat up and I started to share the gospel with Harry. And as I did, Bill woke up and he started to pray softly. Little did I know what was about to take place. 'Harry,' I said, 'do you see that pole with a line in the water and there's a hook on it with some bait? Now, Harry, if a big fish got on that hook and the line started reeling out and you started screaming, set the hook, and I did nothing, I would never have the experience of catching that fish. Harry, you're the fish that God wants to catch today.' Now, as I said that, the line started screeching out. Harry started hollering, 'Set the hook, set the hook. This has to be from God. Set the hook,' he was screaming. And he said, 'What a joy it was that I set the hook, landed a 14-pound, 11-ounce trout.' But all along, old Harry, he's just saying, 'I can't believe it. I can't believe it.' And then he turned to Mike Evans. He said, 'Would you pray with me? I want to receive Jesus as my Savior.' And I prayed for Harry, and I noticed those precious tears as they began to flow down his cheeks that signified the presence of the living Christ. And when we arrived back at the dock, his fishing buddies, who boat had already come in, asked, 'Harry, did you catch any fish?' Well, he said, 2 big fish were caught today. Pastor here, he caught a huge trout, and God caught me." Now, I share that for this reason. We always think, you know what, if the church just comes up with the right program, we're going to make a difference in our community. Folks, no program's going to do that. It's not going to. We don't need any more programs. He's already bringing people into your life. We just need to look up. You know, Harry's are a dime a dozen. They just don't know that they need Jesus. They're traveling around in our world, and this entire story works on the very simple principle of believers impacting those people who are already in their lives. God is already bringing. I challenge you today, when you sit down for lunch, make a list of some of the people that are already in your life that don't know Jesus, that God's saying, I'm bringing them to you every day. And we just need to be open and see what God's doing. Element two is the model. Jesus now touches on the character of those who go out into the world. I said earlier, we can't act like the world, that there's got to be a change in us. And verses 18 and 19, Jesus clearly says, go out like me. Go out into the world like me. In other words, we have an example. We have a model. And Jesus is the model that we're to follow. Notice what he says, verse 19. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. I don't know about you, but I don't use the word sanctification too often. I mean, I'm not sitting around the dinner table and saying, man, today I need to get sanctified. It's not a word we comprehend or we understand. So listen to it from the Message translation. I really like it. I'm consecrating myself for their sakes so that they'll be truth consecrated in their mission. In other words, so that they'll start to live what they know about me. Jesus is the model for us to follow. Now, here is the second problem of the evangelical church today, and I think an illustration might help us a little bit. It also comes from Ralph Kuyper, that evangelist. I've been reading a lot of his autobiography. He said, long before the advent of Weight Watchers, you know, Weight Watchers is a program today, but it wasn't around back then, there was a product called Weight Right. It was sold kind of door to door, and Mrs. Kuyper got involved selling Weight Right. And she was not very successful. In fact, she was frustrated, and in her frustration, she finally came to Ralph Kuyper. She said, could you help me? So he said, well, let me see the product. And he could tell the product was well packaged, looked great, had lots of wonderful promises on it. He said, let me hear your presentation. Flawless. Gave a presentation like he had never heard before, and he didn't know what to say. And finally he said, well, do you have any literature, any brochures? And sure enough, she had a brochure, and he started to read it, and he says, uh-oh. Now, that's never a good thing when uh-oh is said. He said, well, honey, do you want me to be truthful or do you want me to be political? Well, she said, I want you to be truthful. Well, he said, honey, you look more like the before picture than you do the after picture. It's sinking in, isn't it? She hadn't been using the product. And I think that is the problem for the church today. We're trying to give Christ to the world. We are well rehearsed in the scriptures. We know all the things to say. But the world looks at the church and they say, they're not using him. He's not made any difference in their lives. And folks, the world isn't attracted. If it can't work in our lives, they don't want it in theirs. And that's the problem in the evangelical church today. And so I ask myself this question, are we like him? Are we like Jesus? Now, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, Pastor, how can I be like Jesus? Well, can I say in almost every area, but why don't we just start with what Jesus prays for in the high priestly prayer? What if we were truthful? What if we understood his word? What if there was a difference in our lives so that people could look and say, they fashion their lives in a different way? Well, you know, we call it holiness in the scriptures, but all it means is living like Christ. And finally, the church must be marked by love if it's to be like Jesus. You know what staggers me is that Jesus loves this world. They didn't love him, but he really loves the people of this world. Not that he loves the system of the world. Not that he loves the sins of the world. We hear about those all the time. But folks, he really does love the people of the world. And you know what he's asking as he prays for his disciples is that we do too. Is that we can look beyond their sin, that we can look beyond their brokenness. And you know what? If the truth be known, if somebody hadn't looked beyond our brokenness, you wouldn't be here today either. We got to look beyond the brokenness. My prayer is that you do not want to commit spiritual suicide by retreating into your own little world. I'm going to tell you, the stakes are simply too high for us to withdraw from the culture. I don't know how much longer we have. I think the time is short. I think we need to take every moment we can right now and be able to tell people about Jesus. So we need to quit swapping notes about the good old days. Forget about those days when Mark Beers was the pastor at this church. They are gone. There isn't any benefit in looking at those. The question is, what's he going to do today? What's he going to do tomorrow? One might naturally ask, how will the world be drawn to Christ? And I got to tell you, the answer is a simple one. By God, of course. It's not your responsibility to draw people to Jesus. It is your responsibility to live in such a way that people want to be drawn to Jesus. And then He'll start to use your life, and you're going to have testimonies of people who've come into faith. Don't settle for a few traditions. You know, ultimately, I think the church, they kind of lie to the world. And when the world looks and they say, well, you know, this tradition doesn't jive with what's in the Scriptures, and they assume if you're going to lie about this one, how much more have you lied about? Don't sink your teeth into a tradition. Sink it into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I wish I had all the answers. I don't. But I do know this. If I can show people a relationship with Jesus Christ, they're going to be drawn to Jesus Christ. You know what? He'll take care of the church. Don't be worried about the church. Jesus will take care of His church. If we focus on a relationship, it's occurred to me the church is either a roadblock to people coming back or they're an open invitation. And you're going to individually have to determine what you are. Are you the open invitation that somebody would come to and they want to come back to our Lord? Or are you the roadblock that says, they've already judged me, there's no hope? I hope, and what Jesus prays for His disciples, is that you're a door. And that you're able to bring people back into that relationship. Some that might have had a relationship with Him long, many years ago, but walked out on it. Father, I thank You. And I just pray, really, Your high priestly prayer over this congregation, that You would help them not settle for an empty tradition. In fact, Father, if there's some traditions we need to let go, free us from them so that we can lead people into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray that You would empower each individual here today in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.